All right. Good morning. Tin Hut, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is January the 31st, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is awesome wherever you are at. Last day of the month. Last day to wish people Happy New Year. Apparently this is a thing. Someone was saying last night, I don't know what it is I was watching, but the end of January is the end of wishing people a Happy New Year and on with the year. One down, almost 11 to go, and then chalk another year under our belt. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We are early. And yeah, so it's a great day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Beautiful. I'm going to go out paddling today. Haven't done a lot of podcasts because honestly, I haven't felt that great. Or I haven't sounded that great. Or I just feel like I sound like shit. Or I don't know. But just been dealing with the aftermath of having COVID-19 or whatever the number is or whatever we are calling it now. That was my first experience with it. Not horrible, but it's lingering. It's lingering a bit. And didn't realize how shitty I felt until I actually started feeling better. Right, and this is the week I'm starting to actually feel better. Last week I thought I felt better. You know, I worked, you know, showed up, but you know, people are like, "You look tired, right? You look terrible. What's going on?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I feel terrible." And part of it is just January, right? Part of it is just, you know, no sunshine, not a lot of outside things going on, sort of cooped up in the house or the salon, and you know, looking pretty pale. But the reality is I had that COVID shit, and luckily I took that medicine and it did help, but I feel it's still lingering a bit and I'm starting to feel better. It's all in the lungs, right? It's all in the lungs. A lot of, you know, kind of stuff. And when I'm going through that, there's nothing worse than doing a podcast and trying to fight through that. You know, I'll get halfway through a podcast and just start being under attack by this stuff. And I'm like, do you know what? Forget it. So, and I've listened back to some of the podcasts, and it is they do make a mute button, and I do have one. I remember watching Joe Rogan's podcast, and he was struggling with that, and I think they gave him a mute button, but I think it's just the lingering effects of the COVID. And but I am feeling better. We are paddling today, going out. Paddled last week. A lot of stuff's been going on. You know, I don't know when the last time I spoke or what I spoke about, but you know, I've spoken at three different meetings, it seems like, recently, not to mention when I spoke on my anniversary. So I've really spoken like four times in the last couple months, which is fine, right? I know when I'm starting to get better when I'm not completely petrified when I have to speak. You know, when someone used to ask me, "Hey, can you speak tonight?" I'd be like, "Oh, my God." Oh, right? And just anxiety and fear would come over me and you know, I would do it, right? But it was sketchy. And today when somebody asked me, I'm not afraid of that anymore. Not really worried about it. It is what it is. You know, it's just to get the meeting started, try to create a topic, whatever it is. It isn't the end of the world. And, you know, so I spoke, like, obviously, on my anniversary at the end of December. And then I spoke at a meeting over in Ocean View, which was actually really cool. Loved that meeting. Ocean View seems like years away, miles away, but the reality is it only took me like 20 minutes to get there. So I should actually have that in my, especially for the winter. Summer, forget about it. I'm not driving over there in the summer. But in the winter, that's definitely an option if I want to get out of my usual meetings. And but I spoke there and then came back to my other meeting that I go to on Saturday nights and walked in there and they're like, "Oh my God, can you speak?" I was like, "Sure." Spoke on the second step over there. I think I did talk about that in a podcast. You know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Love that. Love that. Love that. In fact, I'd like to talk about it more, honestly, but I'm just not sure I can explain it. So I'm just going to leave that on the back burner. But that was a great, great meeting and you know, love talking about that. And then came home, worked all day yesterday, came home yesterday, and my friend Sue's like, yeah, I got you down to speak tonight. And I was like, oh, my God. And so I went back in my text, and sure enough, I had agreed to speak on the 30th, which was yesterday. And, yeah, it was a great meeting. As Bill Sees It, which I do love. And it was actually on page. So the format of the meeting is you pick the leader picks a page out of that book and then reads it and then sort of shares on it. And so the page was, I think, page 11, and I think the title was Quality Over Quantity. Guns N' Roses, Anything Goes. That band was the background music to all of my debauchery, it feels like. Yeah, absolutely love Guns N' Roses. Not a lot of recovery in their words, but I don't know. Not everything has to be on recovery. But yeah, it was, it's funny. I think, especially when I spoke last night, quality over quantity. It is a great topic. I did the reading. The reading was a little weird. Some of the stuff that they wrote back then is hard for me to read. I don't know why, but like when I read it out loud, it just doesn't seem to come out very well. A lot of the times in the daily reflections, I'm like, what did I just say? But it was a good reading. I think the title in itself speaks volumes. And, March 31st, 1997 is when I initially got sober. And I can tell you, March 31st, 1997, in the morning, I was not looking to get sober, right? It wasn't on my radar. I've said that before, but it is what it is. And on that day, through whatever, God reaching down and punching me in the mouth, it would begin a journey, right? A journey. And I remember starting off completely oblivious, right? Never, ever, ever, ever trying to get sober, right? Always. If those words came out of my mouth, it was to get myself out of a jam. It was to trick somebody, to fool my parents or somebody to believe that I was on board with whatever they thought was a good idea. But to actually get sober was never, ever something that I ever wanted to do. I did not want to get sober March 31st, 1997. But I did. I started, and it was an amazing journey, right? And I shared this last night, and I've shared this before. I came in as a victim, and I didn't realize that. I didn't come in that day and go, I'm a victim of alcoholism. It would take me many years of doing this program to realize, right, you came in as a victim. And what does that mean? And what it means is that I didn't have any accountability. I'm a big fan of Pat McAfee. I've been watching Pat McAfee for 5-6 years. Back when he was in this little studio, and if anybody doesn't know who Pat McAfee is, he does color commentary on sports on ESPN. He was just on YouTube. ESPN picked him up, brought him in. Love it, right? But yesterday I had Tom Brady on, and I'm not I like Tom Brady. I've always liked Tom Brady. Not a huge fan. The problem with Tom Brady is it's hard to really get a sense of who he is Because he's so, you know, he's a pretty guarded guy, right? And I know there's interviews with him, obviously, but he did this great interview with Pat McAfee yesterday, and it was all about teamwork, right, and humility, right, and not being a me guy, right? It's about the team, and it's not being, you know, self-serving and trying to create that self-centered agenda. And that's how my whole life was, right? I was self-serving. And the transition from being a self-serving, self-centered person, really, that doesn't have any humility, which at the same time to me means I don't have any God in my life, you know, and to transition over to something different, the opposite of it, I didn't see that, right? I didn't understand that that had to happen, right? I just thought quitting drinking was the key. And believe me, you got to do that. I had to do that. I had to put the plug in the jug, right? I had to put the bottle down to even give myself a chance, right? But on March 31st, that journey began, and however it looked, right? I remember Ron M., just go to a meeting every day, don't pick up a drink, and just shut up. And I was like, you got it. Because when my mouth opened, you know, who knows what kind of servant I'm trying to do, right? If I'm talking, you know, some bullshit's coming out. And, you know, like I shared last night, it was great in those early days to just watch people that had some time, right? The old timers, the people that had been doing this for a while, and listen to how they spoke and to hear the humility, right? You know, so you have some fake humility, right? You have some different types of people. You know, you have to pick and choose and listen and examples, and it's not just the talk, right? It's the walk. And it was a lot to learn early on. But one thing I remembered, right, is I wanted time. Give me that time, right? Give me that coin. And which is good, right? For an egotistical, self-centered bastard like myself, if all I can get is this goddamn coin, then I want the damn coin, right? And it better be awesome. Back in my day, right? I hate saying that, but back in my day, you get these little brass coins, right? There was no colors. There was no clear cover on it. There was no ceramics. It was a freaking coin. Because honestly, I used to just give my coins away. I'd give them back. I'd pass them on, turn them into other people, you know, celebrating time. It wasn't a trophy. It was just a token, right? Good job. But it was important to me because in those early days, my ego was, and I still have an ego. Let's not sound crazy here, but early on, a lot of ego. Give me my coin. Give me my time, right? And, you know, and it was important, but it was fine early on for me. But, you know, like I shared last night, you know, I made decisions. My ego made decisions early on in my sobriety that would set me up for failure, right? And because, actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't know if it was set myself up for failure. The reality is I was, you know, I had been sober 4 years, right? When I finally moved over to that other town and started to unravel, right? But I'm not sure I was even prepared for that. I look back and I don't feel like I did anything wrong. I just, like, and I shared last night, that voice showed up and didn't like the way they collected money. And I just, next thing you know, I wasn't going to meetings. Next thing you know, I was just drinking. And it was crazy. I always say I needed a drink. I needed to realize, you know, how good I had it, you know, what I've been paying attention to, right? And what I'd been paying attention to was time and coins, right? And it was always about, yeah, but I don't want to lose this time, right? Well, your sobriety sucks. I don't care. I've got this time. And it is what it is. I ended up drinking and lost it all anyway, right? And then when I finally came back in 06 and then had to change my sobriety date again, 2 years later, that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. What about this 2 years I just got, this time? And my buddy Matt's like, listen, if you don't change your sobriety date, your sobriety is never going to be good. And he was right. I think he was right, right? I decided to change my sobriety date to 2008. December 22nd. And I can tell you that the time that I have now has been a lot of great learning, right? And it wasn't, I mean, I'm grateful that I haven't drank for 15 years. I appreciate that. I know everybody around me appreciates that, but it's the quality, right? The stuff that I've been learning in this program, and it has nothing to do with drinking. It's really about the thinking. It's about, you know, trying to, first of all, define a relationship or define me searching for this relationship with a God or a higher power early on in my life and starting to see the light that, you know, I was searching with a self-centered heart, right? How can God help me? And taking, listening to what other people say about God and reading about this man, right? This figure that I have to have a relationship with and learning later on that really it was a relationship about what I could get out of God, right? And anytime I'm trying to get something, I'm pushing God farther away, or at least that idea of a God, right? Because you can't serve self and have a relationship with humility. They just don't work together, right? And, you know, over time, what I've realized is it's not as much of a relationship with God. It's more of just a lifestyle of good, right? Less of a relationship with God and more of a lifestyle with good. And I started, you know, you read that second step like we did the other night, and I get to share on it. And, you know, that would be a beginning for me to start understanding that, right? Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, right? Over time, right? I think a lot of us do this. You know, my whole life has been based on what other people have told me. Oh, this is what you're going to do when you get to this point. This is what life's going to be like when you get to this point. And it sort of was the same thing with the relationship with God. This is, there's a guy, a man in the clouds, right? And he listens to you, and he helps you when you ask for help, right? This is what I heard initially. And so when I started to do all that, it never produced anything, right? Self-centered, right? All about self. What can self get? And today, self doesn't want anything, right? Self doesn't want anything. I just want to be even keel, right? You know, one of the cool things for me is in recovery is just, you know, how to live life a little bit better. You know, my wife and I sort of got into an argument the other night, kind of a big one. I still make mistakes in my relationships as far as like communication, being honest, right? Sometimes things will come up in my relationship that really bug me, but I'm like, you know what? It's good. It's fine. That's your journey, right? I try to stay humble. Hey, you know, that's your thing. It's not my problem. You know, if there's an issue, you're going to have to deal with it, right? And can sort of like remove myself a little bit from the situation. What's really happening is that I'm afraid to say, hey, I don't think that's a good idea. Or, hey, do you think that you should be doing that, right? Or whatever it is. I'm not honest about my true feelings. And then eventually, over time, you know, it's like a pressure cooker. Things go on, and we sort of push it under the rug, and things go on. Not big things, right? Not big things. Our couch is a good example. You know, we have this, when we bought our new house, we bought this big fucking giant couch, really to lay around on, to be lazy on this thing. But it's a big couch, you know, and my you know, my wife is, you know, I've served. She stays home and she takes care of the house. House always looks amazing. The other day I've dropped something. I had to get down on the ground to find it. And I thought it went under the couch, and I looked under the couch and there's just a ton of shit under the couch. Like little, you know, and we have two cats. God knows that they bat shit around all day and it all ends up under the couch. But it's like, damn, like, look at all the crap under the couch, right? Sort of how my life and our relationship can sort of be sometimes, you know, little things come up, we sort of push them aside. And then one day you got to push the couch over and look under it and clean it all out. And that sort of happened the other day. And it was, you know, I'm leaving, you know, sort of one of those kind of things. Get out, I'm leaving, fuck you, da da da. And then we were able to just kind of set and be quiet, right? We were able to sit and be quiet. And I think we both realized, you know, we said some things, right? Probably a lot of it, you know, 99% of it true feelings that we have been sort of holding back. You know, it's always interesting when you have one of those situations and the other person has like a lot of interesting things to say about myself, right? You're like, oh, or I was like, oh, right? Am I, And, you know, one of the things that sort of came out is this better than everybody else AA kind of thing. Like, oh, you just, because you're in AA, you just think you're better, right? And I don't think that. But sometimes, I don't know, right? Some things were said. It was, and listen, the point of it is that we were able to sit there after it was all said and done and sort of, you know, we didn't have to fight about it. And honestly, it was over by the end of the night. We were able to say, listen, we said a lot of stuff. I'm going to listen to what you said. You listen to what I said, and we're going to move on move forward with this new information, right? And try to be better. Because that's my wife, right? Old Tom would be like, you know, fuck you, I'm out of here. You know, I've done that a couple times. And, you know, that is selfish, right? Because we have a family, right? And some of the stuff that my wife said to me wasn't wrong, right? And some of the stuff that I said to my wife was not wrong either. And we both have to sort of process it. And you know, it's not personal. This is a business. You know, our family, we run like a business. We love one another. But listen, we have got to have principles, right? Principles over personalities. And I try to live that way with our life, right? And as much as we love each other, we have got to maintain this business. And we had a sort of off-the-cuff business meeting the other day. And, you know, I had to go back to the warehouse and make some changes. She went to the front office and she's making some changes. But we can, listen, we don't have to get divorced over a discussion, right? And that's sort of how I used to be. And I learned that all through this program, right? Just listen, keep ego out of it. This is, you know, what do they say? Crow's best eaten warm. Well, I had some crow. And my wife is right. You know, that is one of the things about getting sober, at least for me, is that sometimes, you know, I have pulled the curtain back, right? And that is one of the tough parts, I think, about recovery is you sort of see all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you see it in everybody else, and you can't make the mistake of not paying attention to your own self and stop focusing on everybody else. And I think maybe I was focusing on everybody else and not realizing that, listen, we're all just humans. But, you know, we didn't have to drag this for days, right? I see people that fight for days and for weeks. I had a client in yesterday who I do her hair. I also do her mother's hair. And her mother came in, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And she's like, yeah, my daughter's mad at me. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, right? And I'm like, well, you guys will figure it out. And then her daughter came in yesterday. I did her daughter's hair. I'm like, are you still not talking to your mother? And she goes, yep, not talking to her. And I'm like, geez, right? Because I wish, right? And people always say this, right? But I wish my mom was still alive. I would love to chat with my mom. And, you know, and I told her, I go, listen, our mom, you know, they go on. They pass on one day, right? You want to, I remember wanting to be able to spend as much time, quality time with my parents and was able to do that, luckily in recovery, because, you know, when situations that would come up like that, where it is the green light to be mad at your mother or father or husband or wife for months on end, right? You know, we say, listen, hey, let's not do that, right? Let's squash this. You were right. I was right. I was wrong. You were wrong. It's not important. I heard you, right? I'm making a note of it, and let's move on. And that's what my wife and I were able to do. And I told my client yesterday, I go, you know, try to, you know, make up with your mom, right? Regardless if she's right or wrong, you know, it's our mom, right? And they won't be around. They're not going to be around forever. And, you know, we want to try to make an attempt so that we can have the best time with our parents, because unfortunately they do go. But that's, you know, sometimes people don't want to hear that. People are like, you know, I want to, you know, push my feet in, and I want to be hard-headed, and I want to be right, and I want her to know that she's wrong, and vice versa. And, you know, they'll take that shit down to the grave with them. And the program has taught me we don't have to do that, right? I don't have to exist like that, right? And sometimes when people come out with these humble sort of ideas, other people are like, shut up. And I think, you know, that happens with my wife, you know, because when she talks to me about stuff, I'm like, you know, if you did this, right, or did that, or, you know, one of the, you know, one of the things my wife does that I have always done, right, is sort of take people hostage because for some reason I don't feel like people like me, right? And I want to have friends, and it would be something that I would do, especially as a younger person. I'd give people things, right, to be my friend. And, it, you know, it's just having, you know, having friendships with expectations. And, you know, we shared about when we had my wife's friend staying with us, and, you know, she ended up leaving, which is great, you know, go on with your life. But my wife was sort of bummed out, right? She's bummed out, right? Because her friend had left, and she asked me, she goes, what could I have done differently? And I'm like, you know, less expectations, right? Sometimes our friends don't behave like we want them to. And when they don't and we get upset, it's not fair. And that's something that I used to do, and learning that in this program that I don't have to do that. And maybe that annoyed her. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't telling her, you know, she'd been done the wrong thing, but I know from experience in my life, that's one of the things that I do, whether it's my friends, my work, whatever it is, I tend to put expectations on things, and sometimes it isn't fair. And but yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna go paddle today. I gotta shake out the demons. Going into the sun. Go work out these demons out in the ocean, and then meeting tonight. I'm looking forward to that. Maybe we can read a daily reflections. We got that right here. Accepting. January 31st, our common welfare comes first. Yes, it does. The unity of Alcoholics Anonymous is the most cherished quality our society has. We stay whole or AA dies. That's right. 12 steps, 12 traditions. Page 129. Our traditions are key elements in the ego deflation process necessary to achieve and maintain sobriety in the Alcoholics Anonymous. The first tradition reminds me not to take credit or authority for my recovery. Placing our common welfare first reminds me not to become a healer. Oh, these things. That's so funny. Not to become a healer in this program. I am still one of the patients. That's fucking true. Self-effacing elders built the ward. Without it, I doubt I would be alive. Without the group, few alcoholics would recover. The active role in renewed surrender of will enables me to step aside from the need to dominate, the desire for recognition, both of which played so great a part in my active alcoholism, deferring my personal desires for the greater good of group growth contributes towards AA unity that is central to all recovery. It helps me to remember that the whole is greater than sum of all its parts. That's absolutely true. That's a perfect reading, really, for what I've kind of been going through, you know. I am a patient. I'm not the doctor. And I have to remind myself that. And this, you know, that reading just reminded me of it. And listen, you know, I do this podcast and I do speak. I have been speaking a lot. And I tell myself, you know nothing, right? Because I have learned that, you know. Smile at me. And I used to say, tell me I did a good job, right? And I wanted to be the president of the company. Tell me that I did a bad job and I wanted to jump off a bridge. And that's just how I was in early recovery. Hey, I hope everyone has a great day. Appreciate you letting me share, and we'll chat later. Bye.